Why are you interested in this job?
I'm interested in the Macomb position. It's been a destination district in my viewpoint, having been raised in the Monmouth area. Macomb is my college home. It has an outstanding reputation for strong public schools and just a diverse community and all that Macomb has to offer. My wife and I have both lived and worked in Macomb and both consider it our second home, and we feel like that the issues that the district is facing right now would be a very good fit for my particular set of skills, and hope that I have an opportunity to serve the district.
What's a unique characteristic, something you think you would bring to the job that others might not?
Bottom line, I just have a winning attitude, very positive and outgoing every day. It's my goal is to make a positive impact in the lives of everyone I meet, and just feel like the opportunity to work with the staff and have shared leadership and that type of leadership style would serve this district well.
Can you name something you've implemented in your current district that has made it a better school district?
We implemented professional learning communities 4 years ago. Prior to that time, we were already a high-performing district. And what that basically does, the idea of professional learning communities, it takes a focus more off of teaching and puts a focus on student learning. It has in the program a focus on collaboration, provides teachers time for inquiry. There's common planning time for teachers, focus on data-driven decision-making, and since that time, since we implemented that program, it's moved our district, Central School District in Washington. At least one of the schools each of the last 5 years has received the ISBE Academic Excellence Award, and Central Intermediate School has been recognized by All Things PLC, which is the professional development arm of Solution Tree, which is where professional learning communities was founded. So we've seen a significant increase in student achievement and also the number of students who exceed on the Illinois Standards Achievement Test. We've seen a large growth in that student population as well.
The consolidation of regional offices of education, what burden might that place on local districts?
Well, just in terms of time, regional offices of education provide many services that people aren't aware of. Probably one of the most important things that they do is they do our health life safety inspections. Obviously, they would have to spread out their time, and not sure that they would have the available staffing for that. They take care of teacher certification, which is huge in Illinois, especially with the new certification laws. So it would just be asking individuals by consolidating to do more with less, and that seems to be par for the course in the state of Illinois right now.
How long can you continue to do more with less before you start seeing diminished returns?
Well, it's going to be very challenging, and we're optimistic. Hopefully there's light at the end of the tunnel, but this is going to be tough for the next couple of years in terms of this revenue crisis that we're in right now, because schools are struggling to make do with what they have. But it's pretty serious that we have something done by the legislature to address the revenue issue in the state.
What do you think is the biggest challenge facing the Macomb District, something specific to the district?
Right now for everyone, like Macomb, is the financial issue. And it's going to take strong leadership. It's going to take collaboration, effective communication. It's going to take problem-solving skills. And in the bottom line, there are going to be some tough decisions that have to be made in the future. So right now it's financial.
What role do you play in that? I mean, do you see yourself having to heavily lobby lawmakers? Is that a major part of being a superintendent?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Superintendents are in constant communication with their lawmakers, but also encouraging the community and trying to educate the community and what the issues are exactly. It's much more effective when our lawmakers hear from community members who are voters, more so than from a school superintendent who, of course, they understand that we're going to advocate for the needs of education. So it means a lot more when the general public gets involved, and I think that's what it's going to take here, and we're seeing a move in that direction, but it's going to take educating the community and encouraging them to contact their legislators and put their two cents in for appropriate funding for public schools.
Do you, as superintendent, rally the troops then, the community, the people to talk to their legislators?
Well, part of the job of the superintendent is communicate the needs of the district, and it's very important that the district, the community, the stakeholders be educated on what the issues are. So absolutely, yes, it's our job to drive that, be visible in the community, make our needs known, let them know what's going on with funding, what the issues are, and encourage people to act.
What about as far as funding you can find with, not so much through the state, but like out-of-the-box thinking when it comes to funding? What do you have any ideas when it comes to that, or ways that you can find funding outside of the state?
Okay. There are always opportunities for grants. Unfortunately, with public education, a lot of times grants are tied to poverty counts in school districts. That can be a moving target, but we're always looking for every avenue we can with available grant money. You can look at corporate partnerships, but oftentimes with corporate funding, grants or funds, endowments can be awarded for a specific set of time, and there would be an end to that cycle. You know, maybe a grant or an endowment would be awarded for 3 to 5 years with an end date in mind. At that time, the district would be looked at as having to go ahead and sustain and support that program. So that can be challenging when looking at implementing a program 1 year that could potentially be taken away in year 3, 4, or 5. Also, obviously, less popular districts look at raising student fees, those types of activities. But all of that really is you deal with the issues of getting feedback from your stakeholders, identifying your priorities, identifying your opportunities in that area. But again, it's very the opportunities to raise revenue in a school district besides a referendum, which is not a popular thing to do, are very limited.
What about PTEL? Dr. Ruschel talked a lot about how PTEL prevents the district from capturing enough tax revenue. Sure. Do you support every active push to get rid of PTEL?
Yeah, in dealing with PTEL, and I've got experience in my current district, Tazewell County is a county that's subject to the to PTEL, and basically what that does in a situation where I'm at, it hasn't hurt us as much because we've got a rapidly growing local tax base with lots of new housing and new businesses, so we haven't seen the effects of PTEL like other districts. In a PTEL district, it basically limits, there's a max placed on the limiting rate that it can increase beyond 5% or the consumer price index, whichever is less. So 2 years ago, the consumer price index was 0.1%. So it does limit the existing taxes, but there's no limit on the new property taxes. So if you're in a situation like Macomb where there's not a lot of new property on the docket, typically in a PTEL situation, your tax rate's going to stair-step down over time. So again, in our situation, PTEL can be very limiting in that way if you're not in a growth situation.
How do you go about making sure all students have access to technology? I mean, do you think the district should be providing tablets to all of them, or how do you go about doing that?
Well, we've actually addressed that in the district where I'm at, and I know that Macomb has implemented a student-owned device initiative for a portion of their grade levels. What we found in our studies, really done 3 years ago, was it's not real sustainable or realistic to put a device in the hands of every student that's funded by the district. You've got the issue of what's the device going to look like. You've got the issue of cost. You've got the issue of added support staff, technology staff, to be able to service those devices, replace the devices. Are you going to have a replacement system put in place every 3 to 5 years? What would that look like? And what we found was the student-owned device initiative was the way to go for us. We surveyed and found that 60 to 70% of our students, depending on what grade level they were in, owned some type of computer device, whether it be an iPod Touch, iPad, netbook, or a laptop computer. We put policies in place and put a wireless and fiber infrastructure in place that would address the increased use of technology in our district, and found that that's a lot more affordable. We also purchased additional netbook computers for the district for use by students that did not have a device available. So that was kind of we looked at as a situation win-win. You're saving money for the district, but you're also putting technology in the hands of all students.
Why do you think you're the best person for this position?
Well, I believe that I've got a winning attitude. My specific skill set and my experience in education, especially as a superintendent, really fit closely with the challenges that Macomb faces right now. I'm from a very similar community where I currently serve, similar size district, and again, the similar issues that they face. I've got connections to the community. I have both family and friends that have been here for a long time. I've lived and worked in the Macomb community, attended school here. This is a place where I really want to be and really would like to be for a long time.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Nice to meet you guys.